Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to Living Fullness. Thank you so much for being here with us once again. How are you today, Padre?
Well, thank you, Stina. And yourself?
I'm well.
That's the way.
What have you been up to?
Well, all the seminarians are gone.
What do you mean gone?
They're gone. They're on pastoral placement.
Oh.
They're on pastoral placement. So this place is like a graveyard at the minute.
That's weird.
There are three staff here and we're fending for ourselves, cooking for ourselves and for each other sometimes on the more charitable days. That's pretty much it really, is just preparing now for the new year. How about for yourself?
Yeah, look, I've been well. I've been a bit busy at work at the moment, like in the two jobs that I have because of Christmas and working with children. Christmas really does show itself in the workplace, and sure, which is exciting. We get to really jump into the generosity aspect of Christmas. Cool. With each other. So that's been lots of fun, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of organizing. Yeah, so that's both, incredible, but hectic at the same time.
Nice. Yeah, for sure.
So today we wanted to go a little bit further with the natural progression of a relationship. In the last episode, we did say that this was sort of the end almost, if you like, of the natural progression of a relationship and for friends. So now we want to talk about what happens with friends who might also form a romantic attraction and pursue a romantic relationship.
So when we talk about the natural progression of a relationship, it's sort of... it makes life easier for us all, you know. It and that includes potential romantic relationships. You know, the NPR makes it easy for friendships to grow. You know, it sort of takes the pressure off in a way for us just to manufacture friendships, and it allows them to grow naturally. The same is true also for romantic relationships. The notion that if you're friends, you'll never be able to date is quite frankly fictitious. It's just not true. And I know you, some of you may be looking and going, and what do you know, father, you know, priest, like when was the last time you had a date? All right, it's been a while, I admit, I wasn't hatched. I didn't come out of an egg wearing a Roman collar and, you know, sort of blessing things. No, that's not how that happened. I grew up in a family. I did date when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. So I do have experience to draw from, and I can say with certainty that being friends does not stop someone from entering into a romantic relationship with the person that they are friends with. And it's also false at the same time, I think, to assume that a male and female friendship is only going to head in a romantic direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we sort of established that in the last episode as well, didn't we? We noted that, you know, we're close friends. There's a certain level of vulnerability that's expected and required for different levels of friendship, and once you get to close friends, your COI, your circle of influence, and then you look at who is your best friend. We talked about, you know, that we would say best friends actually can't be of the opposite sex.
Exactly.
For this reason.
Yeah.
Because romantic relationships are very easy to be formed.
That's right.
And when you're that vulnerable with someone.
Exactly. So let's just start, I think, by talking about attraction. This is one of those areas that you might just need to stop me insofar as I'm a big, massive-sized theological nerd, and this is kind of theology of the body stuff around here. I might go off on a tangent.
Okay,
if I go off on a tangent, it's time to just I don't know, kick kick me or something.
Yeah, sure. I think I'll get in trouble if I kick a priest. Sure.
Only if you do it for hatred of the office. It says nothing about
all right.
The...
Sweet.
we're attracted by beauty. We're awestruck by it. Contrary to popular belief, Christianity does not shun the body.
Mm.
You know, there's this kind of this idea that we say, oh, body bad, soul good. No, that is not what Christianity says at all. For Christians, the body is important. It's not just an empty shell. It's actually an essential part of who we are. It's part of my person. It's why when we die, when we go to heaven, our body remains here on earth decomposing. We're actually not complete in heaven until we get our bodies back.
Mm.
Because they're actually an essential part of who we are. The body is the means through which the person is able to communicate the truth of who they are and the truth of God who lives in them. Of course, we're going to be attracted to physical beauty because the body tells us something about the person. Does any recognition of beauty or attractiveness necessarily spell romantic relationship and therefore preclude friendship? I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. I guess with that being said, you know, society likes to say that all attraction is sexual.
Yeah.
And we would say no.
Forget it. Because the reality is we can be drawn to a number of people for different reasons, right? It doesn't have to be romantic interests or romantic sparks that has to draw us to someone.
Yeah.
We can be drawn to a person because of their lifestyle, the way that they live their lives, for their character, for who they are and the way they behave in the world and live in the world, the values they uphold.
Mm.
We can be drawn to someone because of their career choice and because of how they pursue their career and work within their career, or because of the gifts and talents that someone has been given, right? These are all different things that can draw us to someone, and that's because they possess something that is beautiful and captivating and inspiring, and something that we can learn from them. But just because we're drawn to that doesn't mean that, oh, therefore there has to be some sort of romantic interest involved there. No, that's a form of attraction. It's a good and healthy form of attraction. Does not mean that it therefore is romantic. We can also be drawn to people because of the way they make us feel. So it could be, you know, even thinking back on my own friendships that I have with people, there are certain people that naturally just put me at ease. There are other people that I just exude joy. I love being in their presence because I could have a rotten day and within 5 minutes I'm just filled with all this energy again, purely because of who they are and how they live. Just being in their presence is enough.
Sure.
They leave me energized and recharged and inspired, and that is not because of the way that I may have some sort of misconstrued attraction towards them. That's purely because of who they are and how amazing they are as people and what they have to offer.
Sure.
And being able to receive them. Again, like what you were saying before too, when it comes to beauty, I think it's also okay to say we can be attracted to someone's physical beauty and be awestruck by their beauty. We can be amazed and we can be just, you know, have our breath taken away by who they are and how they present themselves. But again, that does not mean that it has to become sexualized or romanticized because of it. It's perfectly okay to be able to look at someone and say, wow, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yep, that's right. Exactly. And if we can't accept that attraction is possible outside of the realm of romance, then we can't actually have any friends, because the whole notion of friendship is that I'm actually attracted to someone because there is something that draws me towards them. So attraction is important. The question becomes, what do we do with that attraction?
Mm.
I have a whole section devoted to this with my first year seminarians, which is what we do with attraction. And from the masculine perspective, I say to them that there are two extremes to be avoided. You know, the first extreme is It's a woman. It's a beautiful woman. Quickly, I have to look away. It's not a healthy approach at all. And secondly, is the approach where one is indulging one's attractions, where one is just sort of focused on that attraction, and at a certain point, we actually stop seeing a person and we start seeing pieces, right?
Right.
So that's they're the two extremes that we look at. And so the question that I posed to the seminarians is, so what do we do with attraction? Because newsflash, for any men who might be considering the priesthood out there, when you get ordained, attraction doesn't just sort of switch off. There's, it's still very much there.
And it shouldn't either.
Exactly right. Exactly right. If attraction switches off, then the best part of us, that masculine sort of virility which compels us to go forward and to serve, that dissipates as well. So it shouldn't. You're absolutely right. So how do we respond? Well, we must be master of the response.
Okay. Yeah. What does that mean?
So it means to say that we have to recognize honestly when we're in the presence of someone who is attractive, someone that we are attracted to for whatever it is that might be drawing us to them. We must recognize the reality that is in front of us. But then we have to be master of how we respond to that. Just because I have an attraction, as Stina said before, does not, as you said before, Stina, does not mean that I have to romanticize that or that I have to act on that in some way. I can simply recognize that it exists and be master of how I respond. She is very beautiful, but she is not for me. You know, having the freedom to be able to look at that and say, yes, you know what? She is extraordinarily beautiful. Well done, God. but she's not for me. You know, and being able to make that our response.
And that is so powerful. Like as a woman hearing that, that is so powerful to think that should be the outlook for any man, not just a priest,
but
for any man to be able to think that way.
Sure.
It's just quite powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So the physical attraction exists doesn't mean more's going on. What it does mean is that sometimes we will need to look and prudently discern what kind of relationship needs to happen going forward. Whether a friendship of a very close friendship is possible, whether it's possible that there is something more here, something romantic. It means that I need to be prudent in how we move forward, realizing that there is an attraction here. It doesn't mean that it needs to be romantic. It just means prudence, that we prudentially move forward, understanding that attraction is present, and making sure that our response to that attraction always recognizes the beauty of the human person. And instead of serving our own more base desires, as it were.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, that sort of brings us to this point of DTR.
Yeah.
Could you...
Yeah, sure. So I guess where this comes in is exactly in what you've said, in being able to consider with prudence, where does this relationship now go? So let's say we've got... Every situation is going to be different. Every situation is going to look different. Every relationship is going to look different. But depending on whether you're someone who has just met someone that you find attractive and that you've recognized you have a romantic attraction to, we've talked about how we can move forward in that in previous episodes. But in this case, we're talking about two friends who have been friends for a significant period of time and then have come to learn, actually, there is a romantic attraction here. Okay, now what? There's a lot of things to consider, and one of those things that we've mentioned before is about risk. It's about taking into consideration, is this a risk that's actually healthy and one that serves both of us, or is it a risk that would only serve myself? Is it actually in the benefit of the other person as well? Is it good for the other as well? And so in being able to think about where this relationship goes, it can't be a one-sided conversation. You can't be in friendship with someone and expect a relationship to move forward if the only dialogue that's happening is the one that's in your head. That's just not...
A running monologue, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. It's, yeah, look, even if things might be going on in your head, it will show eventually. So you're better off having the conversation, bringing it to light. And part of doing that is having a DTR, a defining the relationship conversation. So we do want to go into more of defining the relationship, but we're also conscious of the fact that this episode will go for a bit too long if we tried to do this in the one hit. So we're going to split the episode to do that. So come back for the following episode to walk through what defining the relationship, what a DTR can look like.
Yes.
And certainly has looked like in my own life. And we'll go from there.
All right. See you for part two.
So before we go though,
oh,
truth, beauty and goodness.
Ah, right. Very good.
A moment from the week, Padre.
Okay, a moment from the week. So I've been doing first year reports. So I write reports on all of the students that I have charge of. And if there are any first years listening, don't get a big head. But it's been really awesome to look back over the year and to be able to trace the growth of those young men. Wow. It's just been to see the goodness growing and to see that commitment from them bearing fruit. Is just, it's such a beautiful thing. Mm. So, well done if you're watching or listening and don't get a big head.
How beautiful. For me, it's actually, I have certain things that I love praying for, like certain things that for other people that I just absolutely love praying for. And two of those things are weddings and babies. I love seeing my friends get married, like absolutely love it. Love praying for them in the lead up for their wedding. And when a friend is expecting their first or, you know, expecting a child, but at the moment it's the first. So that's, I love praying for that as well. And I had a day in the last little while where both of those sort of coincided. So I had a friend who was getting married and obviously with COVID restrictions and things like that, we couldn't go, but it was live streamed. So that was beautiful. And then straight after watching the live stream, I went to a baby shower for another friend. So it was like, bam, bam, two in one go.
Nice.
It was awesome, absolutely awesome. But just being able to watch the friends that I have seen go through what they go through in becoming a first-time mum, you know, not just in the physical change that's happening to their body, but the way that they're thinking and the way they view the world and their relationship with their husbands and, you know, everything changes, but everything grows. It expands. I've never seen any of my friends go through a first time pregnancy and lose themselves. You know, they always become more of who they are in the process, and it's just
that is beautiful.
Stunning. It's absolutely stunning to bear witness to.
Yeah.
So that is mine for the fortnight.
Cool. Very good.
Alrighty. Well, if you've got any questions, and we hope you have some questions.
Put in some questions, people.
Send us your questions on Living Fullness Facebook group or put them in the comment section of the video if you're watching on YouTube. Or find us on Virtue Ministry and put your questions in there as well. We would love to be able to answer them. We do have a Q&A episode coming up soon, and we've got a few questions that some of you have texted us already, which is awesome. Love it. Please keep sending those questions in and we will address them head on.
Until next time.
Love our love and praise.